For our scripture reading this evening, let us turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, the verses 1 through 17. Romans, chapter 8, the first 17 verses. There we read God's holy word. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So far the reading of the Word of God. This evening we want to continue our study of prayer, and therefore we want to read Lord's Day 46. Lord's Day 46. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? That immediately, in the very beginning of our prayer, he might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer, namely that God is become our Father in Christ, and will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith than our parents will refuse us earthly things. Why is it here added, which art in heaven? Lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, and that we may expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. Beloved congregation, how do you address someone? Well, that depends on whom you address. You address a child differently than an adult. And children, when you address your teacher, you will probably say sir or mister or missus, followed by his or her name. And when you visit a family doctor, you will say doctor. And if you were to meet the Queen of England, you will not say madam, but your majesty. And how should you address the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord God? What title would fit with him? When the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said to them, "When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven." When we pray, we should address the Lord in this manner. This is most fitting for a believing prayer. This redounds to his honor and glory. And with the help of the Lord, we want to listen to what it means to address God as our Father. Maybe you remember that this is not the first time we read the name God the Father in the Heidelberg Catechism. In Lord's Day 9, we briefly paid attention to the meaning of the Father's name when we studied the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father. At that time, we learned that the name Father means that he is the creator of all and that he has created all with a fatherly care. We saw that God reveals himself to people with fatherly tenderness and that God's fatherhood is revealed in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ in particular. And tonight we want to pay attention to the intimate relation between God the Father and his people. The intimate relation. And I realize that this might be a sensitive subject for some of you. I think of those who have or had a bad father. There are fathers who do not understand their responsibilities and who appear to be a delinquent fathers, since they abuse their power and authority. And because of this bad experience, it can be difficult to address God as Father. I hope and pray that the sermon of this evening may yet be instructive for you. It is also a sensitive subject since it is about prayer. And when we say something about prayer, we should reflect on our personal prayers as well. But our personal prayer affects our innermost being, if it is well. A genuine prayer is a prayer from the heart. And this evening we are called to reflect on our personal prayers. So this is a sensitive exercise. It could be that our prayers need some correction. This would not surprise me, since no man knows really how to pray. We need guidance and instruction from the Spirit. But let us now pay attention to question 120. Why has Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? We read here about a commandment, and that sounds a bit strange. Would it not be better to say that it is a privilege to address God with our Father, or that it is most fitting to address him in this manner? Shouldn't we ask, why has God allowed us to address him thus? No, nothing is left to our ponderings when it comes to the honor and glory of God. We should never forget that what God commands is for our good and to his glory. We should be glad and joyful when we hear the Lord speaking about what God commands so clearly. Did the Apostle John not say, "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous"? The last time we studied the meaning of prayer, we also heard about necessities and requirements. We should pray. And now we hear about how we should address God. It is true, to address God as our Father is a gracious privilege. We had better say that it is a required privilege. This does not mean that any other manner of addressing the Lord in prayer is not biblical or incorrect. In Scripture, we read of many different ways of addressing God. Read Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. How did Solomon address God? "Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in heaven above or on earth beneath." Or recall the book of Psalms. Most often we read the title "Lord" with all capitals. This is the proper address to the God of the covenant. And every name of God mentioned in Scripture is allowed to be used in our prayer. We should address God in all His attributes. He is God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. The name Father does not exclude the other names, but includes them. God has many names, but His name Father is the highest name of God. All other names are included in this name. "Well," says someone, "if addressing God is that simple, I will always address God in prayer using His Father name." And in a way, some people put this into practice. When they pray, they always call God their Father. Is this how we should use His Father name? God requires that we address Him in this manner, and therefore we do so? No, that is absolutely not the purpose of this commandment. The use of His Father name presupposes an intimate bond with God. And that is important in order to understand Jesus' lesson on prayer. Jesus' command to call God Father implies a bond with God by a true faith. Otherwise, it is impossible to obey this commandment. We even abuse His Father name if this name comes from our lips without a spiritual bond with God in the way of regeneration, repentance, and faith. We should keep in mind that we are in the third section of the Heidelberg Catechism, which deals with the question, how I can be thankful to the Lord for the received deliverance from sin and guilt. So only a child of God is allowed and required to call upon God as his Father. So we need to know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus has said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." This is the gracious work of the Lord Himself in the heart of a sinner, by which you actually begin to repent and believe. And the Apostle John says it very clearly at the beginning of his Gospel, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And instead of power, we can also read permission or license to become the sons of God. God becomes our Father in the way of regeneration. This means that I have received a new nature, a new life. We already dealt with the meaning of regeneration this morning, so I can be brief about this. Regeneration, your heart is open to the Lord. The Spirit bends your will to God's will, and your understanding is enlightened. You repent from sin to God, and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, this means that we may only use this full and intimate name if we know God through Christ by true faith. The fact that God the Father has created us and that He sustains our daily lives is no reason to address Him as Father. Not even the fact that you are born in the covenant or have made confession of faith is reason to address Him as Father. We need to be born again. Otherwise, we abuse God's holy name. And we should never forget that we all are the offspring of Adam and Eve. We are not born as dear children of God who as pearls lay in His hand. By nature, we are children of wrath. And this is what the Pharisees and scribes needed to learn as well when they disputed with the Lord Jesus in John 8. The Pharisees said that they were children of Abraham. With other words, they were not like the heathens. However, when the Lord Jesus exposed their malicious intent to kill Him, they said that they were not that bad. They said, "We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God." And then the Lord Jesus answered in holy outrage, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." So God is the Father of His children only. That means that they have become enemies of sin and have a sincere love to the Lord and His service. In Romans 8 we read about mutual love between God the Father and His children. Children of the Father are those who have become a child of God through faith. They are adopted by God through Christ. We read in verse 14 and 15, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." These verses also reveal something of the grace by which God's people learn to call God their Father. God Himself teaches His children to call Him Father. His Father name is so great and majestic, who dares to call Him his or her Father, if not God Himself requires one to do so? In general, this is not the first thing a child of God learns. Those who repent and believe are generally not immediately convinced of their childhood of God. Many do not have liberty to call God as their Father in private prayer. And this is a delicate matter. If you have no idea of the struggle someone can have to call God his Father, you have no clue of spiritual struggle. When should we call Him our Father? What do you need to know first? Well, the practice of spiritual life shows that not every child of God knows that he is one. We need a discerning spirit to know and recognize our spiritual state before God. You can only know whether you are a child of God by the reflex act of faith. In spiritual life, it often goes just like life in general. A baby does not call his dad and mom right away. He does not even realize that he has parents. Well, spiritually, it can be that we lack a clear sight of what we are. Spiritually, you are a babe. And generally, we need deeper exercise in faith to know whether we are a child of God. Who teaches you this? The Holy Spirit. We receive the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In Galatians 4, the Apostle Paul emphasizes the gracious work of the Spirit, who takes us by the hand and, as it were, whispers in our hearts what we should say when we pray. God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That is the work of the Triune God. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we have access unto the Father, and it is by the Spirit that we learn to address Him as our Father, my Father, which art in heaven. Isn't that a miracle? What? That God has chosen sinful men and women to adopt them as His children. God does not adopt sinless angels as His children. Wouldn't this make more sense? However, God, in His sovereignty, has chosen fallen creatures, sinners, as His children. Who are they? They have forsaken God. They have chosen darkness rather than light. Yet, God. It pleases God to call sinners out of darkness into His marvelous light. And though His people so easily go astray like sheep, He is the compassionate Father who seeks and finds His children time and again. By Christ's vicarious suffering and death, we can be accepted as His children. Therefore, we read in the Heidelberg Catechism that God has become our Father in Christ. Therefore, He has given power to become the sons of God. Therefore, all those who fear the Lord are commanded to call Him their Father. He gives the privilege to call Him by His highest name, and at the same time, it is a command. God does not draw His people into the intimate relationship of His fatherhood. If God does not draw His people into the intimate relationship of His fatherhood, they would never become children of God. It is God's work. Some people believe that the address mentioned in Romans 8 and Galatians 4 is so intimate that the expression Abba Father could also be translated as Daddy Father. I believe this is a misunderstanding of the Aramaic word Abba. The meaning of this word is given in the Greek language, which is correctly translated with Father. I believe that the meaning of Father, as mentioned in the previous verses, has a similar meaning to our English word Father. I hope you sense that there is difference in meaning between Father and Daddy. Daddy is an affectionate nickname. Affectionate nickname. The Greek language also knows of such a nickname, namely Papos. However, the Greek word for father as used in Scripture is Pater. God lays His father name on the lips of His children, but He does not allow them to call Him by a nickname, Daddy, since He is God. And that is what we should keep in mind. And this is also expressed in answer 120. The name Father comprises two components. What? Childlike reverence for and confidence in God. Do you recognize this definition? It is the same definition we use for the fear of the Lord. Childlike reverence for and confidence in God. And this expresses both intimacy and a distance. The Holy Spirit excites in the heart both reverence and confidence by addressing God in prayer with His Father name. These are the two pillars or foundation of prayer. Our prayer needs a foundation given by God. This is not the same as the ground for God hearing prayer. Our prayer can only be heard for Jesus' sake. No, this is about the foundation of prayer, namely childlike reverence and confidence. What is childlike reverence? It refers to childlike respect embedded in love. Love and respect go together. That is what children learn and express. They learn to respect parents and teachers and all those who have authority over them. The respect a child has for his teacher differs from a parent, if it is well. The element of love is stronger towards parents than to any other adult. Respect and love. And when you are disrespectful or you have bad thoughts about your dad or mom, this hurts inside. You know that you are not right. You should always highly respect your parents and love them. Why do you have such a special relation with them, with your parents? Since you are their child. And this is the analogy God makes when it comes to our conduct toward Him. When the Spirit works in your heart, you will get an impression of God's majesty and holiness, of His power and justice, but also of His mercy and grace. By grace you learn something of God's fatherly compassion by which He looks upon you. And you think small of yourself and you have great expectation of God. How does the Spirit teach you this? By His uncovering work, by which He breaks your heart. You begin to see something of your misery before God. And you bow under God's justice and you admit, I am like the prodigal son. I am not worthy to be called His son. I am a rebel, oh wretched man that I am. And your eyes are opened for your spiritual poverty. You are bankrupt. You have lost all and you become a beggar for God's grace. And at the same time, you have a childlike confidence in God. You hope for His mercy and you trust the Lord is willing to give nothing but good only because of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has satisfied God's just wrath. The Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken by His Father in order to merit a place for His people in His Father's house. And childlike confidence cannot stand any suspicion of God. You expect nothing but good from God. Not because you deserve anything, but because Christ has made perfect satisfaction so that God will surround you with His fatherly care. The Lord Jesus teaches us in Matthew 7, "Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him?" An earthly father knows how to give good things to his children. How much more does God the Father know how to? I know that there are fathers who fail to give what their children need. And sometimes a father makes wrong decisions for his child. Yet God is so different. His fatherly care infinitely surpasses the care which an earthly father can give. And the Lord teaches us to have high expectation of God the Father. When your children are hungry, you expect them to ask you for food. You would be surprised if they would go to the neighbor and ask him for some food. No, a child asks these things from his parents, since a child expects his dad and or mom to take care of him. And in a way, this can also be said about God. God the Father wants His children to ask Him all things necessary for soul and body. God wants His own to expect Him to give what they ask. That is childlike confidence. Maybe you struggle with the use of the Father name of God, since you don't know whether you are allowed to address God as your Father. God commands us to address Him in this manner. Who? Yeah, all those who are His own. All those who sincerely seek and love the Lord. And it pleases the Lord to excite in you a childlike reverence for and confidence in God. That means that the Lord stirs up something that is already present in you. Something that you do not have of yourself, but that God has laid in you. And the good work that God has begun in the work is the work He wants to stir up. That is to His honor and glory. That very small beginning of childlike reverence and confidence need to be excited. And in this way, a believer increasingly learns to know who God the Father is in His love and compassion. This also means that a believer's neglecting the Father name is not to God's honor and glory. Then we don't obey Jesus' command, which is a command of love. Then you come short of God's honor if you do not use the intimate Father name in your private prayers. Does this mean that we can always use His Father name in both private and public prayer? No. That is neither to His honor and glory. If we don't know grace, we may not call God our Father. And therefore, we should be reserved in calling the Father name in public. Since when you pray in public, you pray on behalf of others. The use of the Father name is commanded to those who know God through Christ. Those who fear His name may call Him their Father. And those who love the Lord are instructed by the Lord Jesus. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven. But maybe you say, but I can't, since I don't know this intimate communion with the Lord by faith. Well, that is even worse. No, you can't reason that you had better call God always Father, since the Lord Jesus has commanded us to do so. Using this special address to God without faith, without knowing an intimate relation with the Lord by grace, is a curse. We come short of God's glory if we call Him Father while we don't know Him by faith. We read in the Old Testament that God accuses His people in Malachi 1 verse 6, a son honoreth his father, and the servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? God says to His people, you think you are serving me, and you call me your father and Lord. But what proves that you truly honor me as your father? What shows your respect for me? And the answer of the people is, because we bring sacrifices. We do what we are called to do. But their heart was far from the Lord. But what about you? Do you pray as a needy sinner who is hungry and thirsty after the Lord and His righteousness? Or do you serve the Lord merely out of tradition? The Lord accuses His people. You serve me, but not out of love. You serve yourself first, and then me. The Lord accuses His people of not serving Him with a perfect heart, not with a heart that desires to first see God's kingdom. And the Lord says to His covenant people, I have no pleasure in your sacrifices. Does the Lord need to say this to you as well? Prayer is the chief part of thankfulness, the chief part of thankfulness. It's an offering of gratitude. But it is not pleasant in His eyes if we don't sincerely serve Him. What to do then? Are we better by not calling Him our Father? No. The Lord requires your heart. The Lord wants you to repent and believe. He wants you to make supplications for His mercy. When you lack a childlike reverence and confidence, you should pray for it. You should pray to the Lord to change your heart and life and to mold and shape you into the image of Christ. Your entire life should be to His honor and glory. That is a life in which you seek the intimacy with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ time and again. Isn't this an obvious trait of spiritual life? Seeking communion with God. And it pleases Him to draw near to sinners through Christ. And then you may experience His gracious intimacy for the sake of Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. Our Father which art in heaven. Which art in heaven emphasizes that God is not like an earthly father. We should not have an earthly conceptions, have earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty to which we are apt to. We easily have our own perception of God. Like we judge ourselves and others, so we judge God. We should always realize that God is different than man. Job says, God is great, and we know him not, which means that we cannot understand him in his being and in his acts. And in a way, there is a comparison with an earthly father, as we have seen. But the picture of an earthly father always needs correction, because God is in heaven. Does this addition not create a distance between him and his children? How can there be intimacy if God the Father is in heaven? No, on the contrary, it reinforces his nearness toward his children. He is in heaven, which means that he has all power and majesty. We cannot comprehend the Lord's power, wisdom, goodness, and mercy. And therefore we read in answer 121 that we may expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. He is in heaven, and therefore believers may have expectation of him. He is in heaven because his fatherly goodness is as high as heaven. Because he is so great, he is able and willing to help his weak children. You may have expectation of his fatherly care. He perfectly knows your needs, and he provides all for your well-being. But what about my difficult way? What about my disease? What about the broken relations in my life? Sin still troubles the lives of his children in all aspects. We live in a broken world, and yet God is almighty. Yes, he is an almighty Father, the living God. He is the God whose being is moved with compassion, since he loves his children from eternity. Do you think that he would not know what is best for you? His care is perfect, and he will teach you to entrust all to him. Our Father, which art in heaven. There is no contradiction between the Father name and heaven. That he is in heaven makes his fatherhood even greater. With his majesty and power, he comes very near to his people through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't this a miracle? In the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the Father. He himself has said, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And John writes in his Gospel that no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus Christ has explained the Father. He has unfolded and interpreted for us all who the Father is. Heaven sounds to be so far away. And yet, those who have received access to heaven through the Son will experience the heaven is so near. In prayer, we come before the throne of grace, and then there is no distance between us and heaven. Then heaven is on earth. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, we get to know the Father in his justice, grace, love, mercy, and compassion. Like I mentioned, John says that the Son was in the bosom of the Father. How close do we come to the Father through Christ? Up to His heart. Roughly speaking, on His lap, where you hear the heartbeat of the Father. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And about Him, we can only speak in comparative manner, since God is more than an earthly Father. And therefore we read in Scripture, how much more? We cannot comprehend how much more. There are no words to express. It can only be experienced in faith. God's heart is moved with compassion toward His children, even before they ask. You may call upon His Father name with expectation. You may appeal to the Father for of all mercies and the God of all comfort, though you have forfeited all. God's fatherly compassion and His care are not moved by man, but He is moved within Himself. And therefore, though His children are so bad in themselves, yet their Heavenly Father is mindful of them. You never call upon His name in vain. Not your circumstances are decisive, but His fatherly care. And in the midst of all trials, He exercises His children to have expectation of Him alone. And He commands you to call Him Father, since He wants to excite in you a childlike reverence for and confidence in God. And in this way, He brings up His children in grace. That is His Father pedagogy. And in this manner, He leads His children home to the Father's house with its many mansions. And there, the intimate communion with God will be in full. The inheritance is laid up for His children. That is a lovely homecoming. Home to the Father's heart. Amen.